find ourselves 2 weeks before the Yom Tov of Pesach. And in 2 weeks from tonight, actually from last night, we'll sit down at the Seder wherever we are in the world and we'll say those immortal words of Chai of Adam Liras Azatzma Kilu Yatsa Mimitzrayim, that you have to see yourself as if you're coming out of Egypt. So I'll tell you a story quickly. I had the schus when I was a yeshiva bacher to spend time teaching Torah behind the Iron Curtain. And one time I went to Berdichev in the Ukraine with a chaver, and those were the times when you still had to wrap your suitcases in tefillin straps, pretending that they were luggage straps. And you basically got by on cigarettes. That was the legal tender. And I decided in the course of our stay there that I wanted to go to Mezhebish. Mezhebish then did not look like anything that looks like now. It was this decrepit little town with its Sabrachana Beisach Chaim. And you found the local Ukrainian peasant who had the key and he'd open up the caver for you of the Baal Shem Tov. But how was I getting there from Berdichev? So we found a Yid named Yosef, whose grandfather had been a Rosh Yeshiva in Berdichev before the Communist Revolution. And this Yosef was all excited because through the clandestine efforts of the Joint Distribution Committee of B'nai B'rith, for the first time he had a Haggadah in Hebrew and in Russian, and he had 1 pound of matzahs. He only had one daughter, and with this daughter he was going to Mirtz Hashem, with her and her one son, have a little Seder. And we start driving, and then it took 12 hours in this car that looks like, you know, like a kid used to drive a car, draw a car. We start driving towards Mezhebish on these Tzabrochene country roads. And after about 5 minutes, I ran out of whatever Russian words I had, and my chaver Danny, him as well. And our Yiddish wasn't that great then either. And after about 15 minutes, there's nothing more to do. And all of a sudden, this Rabbi Yosef looks at us. He says, Johnny, Danny, lam mer zingen, let's sing. And he starts to sing Hava Nagila. Hava Nagila is a great song for about 5 minutes. But when you're in the second hour of the Hava Nagila hit parade, and he's going with a force, and we're just like, dribbling along. And then all of a sudden he stops. And the sun starts to rise. We left in the middle of the night because I wanted to daven shacharis by the Baal Shem Tov. And as far as you can see, there's an expanse of carnations in every direction, going off towards the sunset, sunrise, towards the horizon. And all of a sudden he pulls over to the side of the road and he says, Lo mevaizen azach, let me show you something. And he takes us out on the side of the road and there's a little granite marker and it says on there the number 117,218. And all of a sudden he starts to cry and he says, Yidden, Yidden, gestorben du! Jews are buried here. And he says, Mein Tata lik du! My father's here. My mother's here. And he tells us whether the number's correct or not, I cannot tell you. Whatever was engraved there on this marker was only in Russian. But he tells us that during one of the Stalinist purges, most of the Jews in this area were completely rounded up and were killed and now serve as the fertilizer for this expanse of carnations. And I must be honest with you, I couldn't really relate. We get to Mezhebish, finally we get there. I put tefillin on him for the first time in his life. Hava Nagila again, and we're on our way back. And we're driving back. to Berdichev. And all of a sudden, on the side of the road, there's a little country market. And I'm excited for the first time. I've been in Russia for a month then. All you eat is potatoes. Kartoshka is the only word you need to know. One bracha, hadama, for the whole month. And I see a carton of oranges from Greece. How they got there, I don't know. And I went, and for one pack of cigarettes, I bought the entire carton. And all of a sudden, my friend Danny, today he's a Rav in Muncie, comes over to me and he says, "Shippel, we got trouble." I said, "Why?" He says, "Look, Yosef's over at the meat counter." And all of a sudden, with the biggest smile on his face, Yosef turns around, the grandson of a Rosh Yeshiva, and he looks at us, "Johnny, Danny," and he's holding the entire head of a pig. And he says, "For Pesach, for Pesach." And that's when I realized 117,218 people had died. Because many of your Gentile friends know that there's treif and then there's glatt treif. Jews and pigs don't go together. It's very hard to relate to the fact that we're sitting at the Seder Chai of Adam Lirus Esatzma Kilu Yatsum Mitzrayim and to be able to re-experience the exodus from Egypt. And so, we have our other ways of doing it. There's a famous story of the Chafetz Chaim that a young girl once came to the Chafetz Chaim and asked the Chafetz Chaim, I heard this from my Mashgiach in Yeshiva in Baltimore, that a young girl came to the Chafetz Chaim and she asked the Chafetz Chaim, "How are you supposed to relate to leaving Mitzrayim?" The Chafetz Chaim looked at her and he said to her, "Meidele, how many Doiris are going to be at your Seder?" And she said to him, "They're going to be three. My parents, myself, and Baruch Hashem, my grandparents." So the Chafetz Chaim said, "Well, really, your Seder doesn't just represent three generations. It represents five generations of the Jewish national experience. Because your grandparents also sat at their parents' and their grandparents' table before them." So if we look at this in terms of social anthropology, Pashup Shat, where the average generation is 20 years, so 20 years times five generations are represented at the Seder represents 100 years of the Jewish national experience. So if you take the 3,300 years, more or less, since 2448 when we came out of Mitzrayim, and you divide it into 100, the Chafetz Chaim said to this little girl, he said, "That means in the history of the Jewish people there have only been 33 unique Seder tables." Maybe that's easier to relate to. But even some of us can't relate to that. I think we all know that Chayav Adam Liras is Atzmaki Luyatsami Mitzrayim, the Halig Svarim explained that we all have our own Egypts. Mitzrayim is Mitzarim. You have to get out of your own limitations, get out of your own box. Perhaps the time period that we're experiencing right now, this is just my thought, is the opportunity that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives us every year to get ready for, to experience our own Yetzias Mitzrayim. You see, we're in the middle of the Dalet Parshas. We have the Parsha of Shkolim, then Zohar, then Parah, then last week HaChodesh, and Mirtz Hashem next week, Shabbos HaGadol. But there are four special leanings on these four special parshas. Why? We all know Parsha Shkolim is because this is the time of year when you had to bring your Machzis HaShekel for the Karbonas HaTzibur. Even then, they had to announce ahead of time for the Jews to remember to bring their donations. Parsha Zohar is Poshet. It's about Schiras HaMolek. Haman's Nebanav Shal Amalek. Parsha Sparo is about Kedusha and Tahara. If a person was in a state of impurity, the opposite of Kedusha, the opposite of Tahara, so they used the ashes of the Parah Aduma to become transformed, to ready themselves to bring the Karban Pesach. And Parshas HaChodesh, which was this past week, we clearly all know, represents HaChodesh Hazeh Lachem, Nisan being the first month, the first mitzvah given to Klal Yisrael, Parshas Boy, of creating a calendar. But maybe we can look at it on a different, from a different perspective. Maybe what we're being given as Eden is an opportunity to look at four major categories of slavery that may exist in our own lives. Parsha Shkalim would refer to the slavery to money. Now, I know they say there are many more important things in life than money. The only problem is they cost money. But the bottom line is there are too many people who define their lives in terms of what it says. It's not in God we trust, but in the dollar we trust. And I could tell you as a community rav, you see how many relationships fall apart because of guilt. Because people don't have the correct perspective. Or people all of a sudden, chas v'shalom, lose a job and they lose their identity. Or if they're flying high, that becomes their identity. We have to make sure that we have a healthy relationship with money. Parsha Zohar, Amalek is gematria sofek. Amalek is the manifestation of doubt. A lack of klarkeit that there's a bashefer, that there's a creator, but really manifests itself in terms of doubt, in terms of analysis, paralysis, that people get stuck into in every chelik of their lives. And we're all challenged by this. And however you're going to define Amalek, there's some type of slavery to doubt. We all know the pasuk says, "Ki yad al keis kam el chama Hashem ba'amalek nedor ledor." And Rashi points out, when Amalek is shoylet, the kisei is not shalem, and the shem Hashem is not shalem. The aleph's missing from kisei, and the vav and hay is missing from the shem Hashem. Why? Why specifically those letters? So most people touch it up because the aleph is a Simon of HaKadosh Baruch Hu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Alufa Shel Olam. When Amalek is Shoylet, the person doesn't have a klarkeit that the Eibishter runs the world. And why the Vav Hei is missing from Hashem's name? Because every time we say Hashem's name, we have to say, I have in mind, Bekavana Shulchan Aruch tells us that the Eibishter, Haya, Haive, Viyya, He was, He is, and He will be. And one of the koiches of Amalek is Amalek robs us of the Yud Hei. Sorry, he robs us of the Vavhe. When Amalek is Shoylet, there's only the Yudke. There is the Haya and the Yiyah. And you'll meet these people in life, and you'll ask them, how's everything going? They'll talk about Vasigevein, what was. And then you have these people who tell them, how's it going? And they tell you about the Chaloimus of what will be. The Vavhe is the present. And Amalek, through this doubt, robs people of the present. And the only thing we have that's guaranteed to us is the moment that we're experiencing right now. Then we have Parshas Parah, which is all about Kedusha and Tahara. I think that's been spoken about here many, many times. We all know that that's the test of our generation. Tonight's the Yahrzeit of the Alter Square Rebbe, Beis Nissen. Someone once came to the Alter Square Rebbe and asked him. They had to raise a tremendous amount of money. And their mamish and Erel Chayit. And it was a struggle. And the Alter Square Rebbe, the story goes, told them, bring me a siddur. And he brings a siddur and he opens up the benching. In benching, we say in Racheim Na, Now, Tatsuchenu Hashem Elokeinu Loli Neim Batnas Basav Adam Eloi De Alva Asam Kim Liadcha Am Leia Psucha Kedosha Ve'achava. And even though there's a gears of Gidusha, not Kidosha, everyone reads it as Kidosha. And the Alter Square Rebbe says, imagine you have a business. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you have a business and you're opening up your startup. I know they didn't have startups then, but businesses. And you're looking for your angel investors. And you need $2 million. You're not going to look for a guy to start raising $10,000 from so many people. You by the time you raise the money, someone else would have already created the product. Who do you look for? You look for someone who's malay, who's full, someone who's pasuach, someone who's open, and someone who gives bahar chava, someone who gives with great breath. Said the Alter Square Rebbe, what's Kedosha doing in that description? He says, because the Eibush is telling us, Kindalek, I'm malay, I'm pasuach, I give bahar chava, but Kedosha, I only invest min b'minoi, kedoshim tiyu ki kadosh ani. And this, the Rebbe looked, Susi Agnaleinu at this Yid, and he was mamash Erlich Yid, and the Erlich Yid looks at the Rebbe and he says, Rebbe, he says, what exactly do you think of me? He says, I'm not thinking askance about you, but what I am thinking is that you're a person who's busy with the whole world. And don't tell me that there's no area where you can't improve in your Shmiras Einayim. And the Yid's quiet. And this is decades before the challenges of the internet and Allah Kalim that exist today. And the Rebbe said to him, sit here at my desk and make a Kabbalah and you're going to have Hatzlacha. And the Yid tells the story. He sat there, he made whatever Kabbalah he made. And within a week, he covered all the budgets that he ever needed. My shver, my father-in-law, Zichron Livracha, had the schus. After he came to America after the war, he ran away to a little beach community called Bell Harbor, where he wanted to be far away. He was Shomer Shabbos, but he wanted to be far away from, let's just call it, great institutional Jewish life. He needed a break. He'd gone through the war. He'd gone through his ups and downs. He wanted to live at the beach and just be quiet. But God has the greatest sense of humor. All of a sudden, the Satmar Rebbe, Susi Agnaleinu, had a stroke. And where do the doctors recommend that he move? To Bell Harbor. And where does he move? 2 houses from my shver. And the Rebbe went to the mikveh, not just before Shacharis, sometimes many times a day. And my shver realized then the closest mikveh to Bell Harbor, the Bell Parkway, wasn't built yet. Because they used to go on Seeger Boulevard, all the way to Sulitz in Far Rockaway. And they would schlep the Rebbe, the Alter Rebbe, back and forward. And my shver said, you know what, Rebbe? I'll build you a mikveh. And my shver, Zichron Livracha, and my shviger, she's all lang geyuren, till 120, they built a mikveh in their garage for the Satmar Rebbe. And my shver once sat with the Satmar Rebbe, Susi Agnaleinu, and he asked him, he said, what schus do you have? And as a result, he started walking with the Satmar Rebbe every night on the beach. And he became like a son. And once during Hanukkah, he sat with the Satmar Rebbe and he said, what schus do you have that you've been able to rebuild Torah in such a way? And the Rebbe looked at my shver and he only told him, Soif Yamav. He says, I was never Moitzi Zera Vatal. From Kedusha comes the Psucha, Harchava, Malaya. Right? But the Eibishter only invests min b'mina. Parshas Parah is eradicating from yourself that slavery to the opposite of Kedusha and Tahara. And that was the message the Rebbe shared. Does it make sense? So many successful Yidden. So many businesses. It's all linked in Kedusha and Tahara. And then finally, this Parshas HaChodesh. Parshas HaChodesh is about our relationship with time. Do we rule time or does time rule us? We all know that if you want to have something done, give it to a busy person. I think I saw Rabbi Kalinsky as I was walking in here. The man is busier than 9 people that I know. Yet you ask him to do something, in 1 second it's done. And he responds to every single person. As do most of your rebbeim and your sheshivas. People that are controlling their time and are mesuder, that are not slaves to time but rather control time. That's what Parshas HaChodesh is all about. There's this word, this term today of killing time. Killing time is never part of the lexicon of what it means to be a Yid. And so I think that each one of these Shabbosim gives us an opportunity to work on some type of slavery. Eventually we get to Shabbos HaGadol, which is that day when we took the deity of the Mitzrim and we tied it to our door, to our bedpost. That's the ultimate expression of Gadlus. We all know the first time the word Gadol appears in the Torah is HaMa'ora HaGadol Memsheles HaYoim. And unlike the Ma'ora HaKatan, the Ma'ora HaGadol doesn't just reflect light, but it's its own source of light. And so I believe we're in this time of year of being Geula LeGeula. Someone once asked the Vilna Gaon, they say, what's the difference between Gola and Geula? He said, put an Aleph, put HaKadosh Baruch Hu into Goyla and it will become Geula. We all can achieve Geula. We all, Be'ezus Hashem, can sit at the Seder and say that we have gotten out of our own Mitzrayim. If we put HaKadosh Baruch Hu into our own lives, and we ask Him to assist us in overcoming all of these types of slavery, Eibush is a helfen. B'nissen ga'onu, b'nissen asidin le'igoyal. May this be the year.